and welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community and listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans.
This week, author and founder of the Autism Independence Project, Amalia Starr, speaks about her work helping educate parents of children with special needs about the path to independence. This talk was recorded at the BP Energy Center on March 6th and was hosted by the Stone Soup Group as part of their Connecting the Dots Parent Conference 2015. And now, Amalia Starr.
How do you open a talk when something tragic in your life happened without being real? I can't do that. I didn't fly here from Los Angeles to be fake.
You can't fake it with parents of special needs children. Last November, on the 24th,
my 41-year-old son passed away suddenly, unexpectedly, in his sleep. It was the worst day of my life. Ten days later, they held a memorial for my son in the city that he lived in and that he loved and where he worked. That turned out to be one of the best days of my life. People came up and talked about my son. I knew my son had a secret life, but I never knew the depth of it. Being 41, he's an adult man. He has a right to his privacy. Brandon lived alone for 17 years in the city of Santa Monica. He walked the beat with many of the policemen 3 to 4 times a week. He loved all first responders. Brandon also had epilepsy, so the paramedics knew him too well. That's not a good thing. Although without the paramedics, he wouldn't have been able to live an independent life. Brandon struggled in many ways, as a lot of our children who have autism or special needs and special needs. But between the two of us, he managed to make it on his own and live his dream. And his dream was independence. I really didn't know if I could come here and do this so soon after this wound. But I know that's what he would like. When a year before he passed away, they did a news story on Brandon on television, which I'll be showing you later. You'll get to see who he is and what he accomplished. I miss him so much. He became my best friend. He became my finest teacher. He taught me so much. You know, we're lucky, which may sound weird, but we're lucky to have children who have special needs in the sense that these kids, whether you like it or not, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. You're going to change. You're going to become a better person for sure. There's no other place in the world I would rather be than sitting in a group of parents or family members who have, or and professionals who have, or work with children with special needs. Because we are determined. We're devoted. We're dedicated. And guess what? We don't give up. No matter what. So now that you know a little bit of what has been going on in my life for the last little over 3 months, I will go into more of what the memorial was like towards the end of my speech. But I'm going to take you back to the beginning of when Brandon was born and how that was for us. Keeping in mind that Brandon, well, you don't know this part, but Wednesday, Brandon will be 42. That too is hard to deal with. But guess what? Another special memorial is being held for his birthday on the 3rd Street Promenade, where Brandon made a living, how he found a place to be accepted for exactly who he was, and to be cherished and loved. And that's what we all want. We don't need special needs for that. So if I get off track and you say, what did you say? Or you need me to mention something or say, did you complete that sentence? Just do something like this. I'm happy to be corrected, or say, I'm here to hopefully bring you hope. That's why I fly around the world to do that. Because sometimes we get so stuck in the way of our living of day to day that we need a little bit of someone to pull us up or just say, you're going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. It may not look the way you planned it, but it's going to be okay. Whatever okay means to you. Here's another ironic thing. My latest book came out 1 month before Brandon passed away. And the subtitle, How to prepare for when your child outlives you. How ironic. I was making these plans because the number one question of parents who have special needs children is what'll happen to my child after I'm no longer here. So I'm glad I finished it before, because I don't think I'd have the wherewithal to go back to it. And I'm grateful for that's complete. And I did it because I just wanted to make sure that he'd be taken care of the same way that I've helped him or taken care of him myself. Well, let's go. We'll start from the beginning. In 1973, Brandon was born. And he had autism, epilepsy, and severe learning disorders. But back then, the word autism was really unheard of. I just knew he was different. He had an older brother, and he wasn't maturing like his older brother, Matthew. And I just knew he was different, but everybody else thought I was the one who was different. I see a lot of nodding heads. Yes, you understand, right? We're the crazy ones. We're the ones that are bizarre. That's okay. We can take it, can't we? So finally, the pediatrician did agree that there was something different about Brandon. They sent me to take him to a psychiatrist for testing. And because they didn't know what Brandon had, the testing was really not accurate, because Brandon couldn't do the testing they gave him. So it came back, looking dismal, and the psychiatrist said to me, he'll never be able to read. I thought, really? How do you know that? How does anybody know that a 5-year-old child will never be able to read? Lesson one, don't listen. You don't have to listen to anything negative said about your child. You don't have to. If it feels right, fine. If it doesn't, keep moving. Get more information. I found a educational therapist, Bruce, who taught Brandon how to read by the age of 9. He read really well. At the same time, Brandon had his first epileptic seizure, and it was horrifying. He had grand mal seizures. His neurologist told me not to tell anyone that he had seizures and that he had epilepsy. Exactly. Lesson number two. Please don't keep a health condition a secret, and certainly not from a person who has something like epilepsy, because they're grand mal seizures. A person needs to know, and the people around them need to know, if he needs care or what to do. And then after that, he stayed in school. It was a typical, he was bullied, he was beat up, he was misunderstood. How could anybody understand him if I didn't tell what the information I had? So that's lesson number three. I'll start losing the numbers pretty soon, but the lessons will keep coming. We didn't know what to do for Brandon because he couldn't make a friend to save his life, and he tried. And he just was bullied so badly. Over the years, we finally were able to get free appropriate public education for him in the LA area. We hired an attorney because my first few attempts didn't happen. But she got it for us, and that did change his life. He still couldn't make a friend at the new school he went to, but he wasn't bullied. He wasn't beat up. And you know, it's a whole different environment when you're not going to school to protect yourself, but you're going to school for the right reason, to learn and to be safe and to be okay. And when that's taken from your child and from you as a mother or father, there's no peace. And I had no peace for all those years until Brandon turned 15. Brandon graduated there. It was two kids graduated there. Brandon was 6'2", and the other girl was 5 foot. It was a sight for sore eyes. I'll tell you, we were just beaming that Brandon had graduated school. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful day and a huge accomplishment. After school, Brandon went away to, he went to college actually, a local college, but he couldn't stay engaged. It just wasn't, I see more nodding heads, it just wasn't right for him. There was nothing set up back then that were for, meanwhile, I don't know he has autism. He's already 15, he's already 18. We don't know he has autism. Everything was swept under epilepsy. So what my son had was epilepsy, but I had no idea he had anything else. By this time, he was 18, and my husband and I didn't see eye to eye anymore, and it chipped away at our relationship, and he was in denial, my husband. He'd see Brandon have a grand mal seizure and think it's fine. And I mean, he wouldn't think it's fine, but he wouldn't notice it. You know, you become numb, you know, and that does happen to many people. So it didn't work out. Well, it did work out. We were together for 22 years, so it worked out for 22 years. But I needed support, and if I wasn't going to get it, then I needed to be alone. So my ex-husband, quickly remarried. And the woman, Brandon, went to live with the woman and my ex-husband. Oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly. She got a quick education. She thought he was fooling around, that he was pretending all the things that he did, you know, by not being able to verbalize what he wanted to say, socialization, lack of skills. He had fine and gross motor skill difficulty. It goes on and on. Your typical, traits that, and grand mal seizures. Well, she couldn't take it, so they shipped him off to Vocational Independence Program in New York. And I don't want to give you the false impression that he went to this independence program and came back with all the skills he needed, because that was not the case. But he came back because his father had died when he was in New York, and he came back for his father's funeral. And Brandon sat across from me when he was 21 years old, and he said, he just sat across from me stabbing his food with, like, his fork, just stabbing it. And his manners were still not, because his gross and fine motor skills weren't available to him. They weren't there. And he's just stabbing away saying, I'm going to live alone. I want to be by myself. I'm like, oh my goodness, really? I always thought he'd live with me. And sure enough, I made a deal with him. I said, you go back and finish school for a year, and I'll get an apartment for you, and we will try it for 6 months. Oh my God, I needed the year so I could digest this information. Are you kidding me? This kid was going to live with me, forever. I mean, I knew that. That was definitely, when he got back, it was going to be, with me. Oh, how wrong was I? And how wrong can we be? And how do we know everything? And how do we know how the end is going to happen or what's going to happen to us? So we need to be available and open. We need to be more adaptable and more just, we can't think about the future as much as we can think of today, because this is all we have right now. And right now is great in here, this room. I mean, I can feel, I hear the wheels turning. I don't hear them really, but you know what I mean. But that's the whole thing. So I never knew, but I did think he would be my responsibility forever and he would live with me. Didn't happen. So Brandon comes back. He comes back. Well, he did call me almost every day, if it wasn't every day, from New York. Is it time to come back yet, Mom? I'm like, goodness, check the calendar. No, you have another 200 days, And I need every one of them. So my girlfriend and I found him an apartment that I thought would be great. He's a minimalist, and so we made it very simple. Not a lot of stuff, just very, very simple. Brandon came off the airplane, and I wanted to show him his apartment and then bring him back home to my house. Well, another plan that just ridiculous on my end, took him into his apartment. I like this, he said. And I said, well, come on, we'll go home, we'll come back, Oh, no, Mom, I'm staying here. I want you to know why and what made him want to live alone. I think this is an important piece. He was beat up in New York by his roommates. He had been beaten up all his life. Do I like the fact that he was beaten? Of course not. But because of that, he said, I don't want to live with anybody but myself, because I won't get beat up. I mean, wow. In some ways, that was a horrific, in all ways, it was a horrific education. But in some ways, think about it. His mind, his autistic mind, and I love that. To me, autism in many ways is, I don't like to use the word gift cliche, but it's so fabulous. And I'm not saying all the children on the spectrum are not suffering. I don't say that for a minute. There are children that need help. There are adults that need help that are suffering. But there are others that have these traits that are amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I say my son was my finest teacher. Brandon, anyway, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but he came back, moved into his apartment. I spent several months with him, going to his house every day, taking him around the neighborhood. He had a part-time job because he was transferred from his part-time job in New York to an office store here, near his house. I found a house near where he was working. An apartment. He didn't work there long because the manager there teased Brandon terribly. An adult. And so, as mothers would do, our fathers, we go undercover, of course, because I don't understand if what Brandon is saying is accurate, because everything he said was not always. Brandon had an issue with what he said really could be true or not true, but it was as accurate as he could get it. More nodding, so you understand. So I went undercover, not knowing. Brandon didn't know I was coming. Of course, Brandon would recognize me, obviously. But I was standing there while his boss was talking to Brandon, and he was so mean and so rude. Brandon didn't see me, and I made that a point. But I just went up to him and said, I'm sure you don't know that I'm Brandon's mom, and explained that this behavior is unacceptable. And Brandon and I left, and I reported him, and they did nothing, absolutely nothing. So it's just, you know, it's not that I don't believe Brandon, because he's not a liar. It's just the way he expresses himself that it sometimes gets mixed up, and it's jumbled. So Matthew, my oldest son, would say, well, Mom, what story did you get from him today? And I'd tell him, he'd say, well, I got this, totally different. And I said, well, it's not intentional. And Matthew said, well, I think it is. So a lot of people do, even his brother, his father, even used to think this was an act, okay? Not an act, he's not a jerk. He wasn't acting. This is the way his mind works. Pretty amazing. Finally, Brandon moved into his apartment, he quit his job, and now I'm thinking, oh boy, what is he gonna do with his time? So we had to be somewhat creative, and I still was there almost every day taking him around, how to ride the buses, and what he could do, and how he could volunteer, and how to get involved, and always keeping in mind that although my vision is one way, I need to be open as to what the vision is for him.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans with author and founder of the Autism Independence Project, Amalia Starr. She spoke about her experience as a mother of a child with special needs and the path to independence for those with special needs. This talk was recorded at the BB Energy Center on March 6th as part of the Stone Soup Group's Connecting the Dots Parent Conference 2015.
Here's a really key number five, I think we're at our lesson number five, is that with Brandon, I never wanted to change him. Never. If he wanted something to do better, if he wanted to be like make friends, then I would maybe make a list or show him how we could be friends or what you do with friends, even though it's very complex. We know that area is very complex. But it's not about I want him to have a friend. Never. It wasn't that. It's like, well, I want him to have a job. Well, I mean, there's many things I want. But I didn't go after it by teaching him and to become independent because of things I wanted. That will never work. We have to go after this and teaching them things that they want. And if they don't want something, to find something they're good at. Find something they have interest. Find something. And you may not find it now. And you may not find it tomorrow. And maybe you already have. But that's the way I find, this is my way of my approach, which worked because it wasn't like, well, I really want to change you. You got to go work here. You got to do this. You got to do that. So I didn't. Brandon became an entrepreneur. He created his own job in Santa Monica on the Third Street Promenade. He did it himself. He got people coffee who worked there, merchants, and he always got a tip. He would go help people who had carts. Do you know how people have carts? I don't know if they have them in Alaska, where they have these, and it's an outdoor mall, and they have these carts where you sell things from. And he helped them. And if they needed to take a break, he'd watch the cart, because Brandon was trustworthy. So, and he became a junior deputy with the police department. So if something was happening, he'd report to them. And so they always took him, you know, for coffee and donuts. He thought that was the greatest ever. He loved people with uniforms. Any kind of uniform, you were in. But he did have a problem of who he liked better, the police or the firemen. And I have to be honest, the police won out. And there's some sore issues there, but we'll mend those on his birthday celebration on Wednesday. But that's another thing. If we allow our children to go and grow, and we trust that there are people, and this is what's opened my eyes since he passed away. There are people out there. There are a lot of people out there, please hear this, that want to help, be of service. These people that gravitated toward Brandon were young. Some of them worked at Starbucks. They were students from college. Some of them One man was from Egypt who owned a jewelry store, and he was in his 70s, and he became Brandon's step-in father. He told me on Father's Day Brandon would buy him a card. There are people that care. They care more than we know. But they'll never care about our children, never, if we don't help them get to where they're going, because they won't find them. We have to allow them to be found, and that takes courage. That takes, for some of us, including myself, the most courage I've ever had in my life. My family thought I was nuts to allow him to live alone. You know? And the truth is, maybe I was a little bit. But what was the option? Was the option putting him somewhere? That was the only option I heard from other people, or the professionals said he'll never make it. I said, really? Really? You know that my son will never make it? I don't know. And so a six-month trial period, about 3 months on the trial period here, I called Brandon. I used to call him every morning, and I'd say, okay, what's up? How you doing? He'd say, one day he said this, Mom, there are weird people out there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness. On my end, I wanted to scream, are you got to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. Fill in the blanks, I'm sure you can figure them out. But I held my tongue, God knows how. Because I knew if I said something to him, don't do that, you shouldn't do that, you can't do that, he wouldn't confide in me anymore. That communication would end. I couldn't afford to have that happen. I'm not a spy, but I like that communication so I can not intrude or invade in his privacy. He's an adult, but I also need the information. And that was quite scary. I mean, he had numerous. One day I call him, he goes, I don't feel well. I go, oh, what's wrong? He said, I ate too much. And I go, oh, where'd you eat? He said this. He said, I got in line at the church. He said, they were giving free food. I said, honey, that's for people that don't have money to buy food. It's for the homeless people. Well, it didn't say that. He needed to be direct. I think what he did was okay. It didn't, yet he learned his lesson. It didn't feel good. He ate too much and didn't want to go back and realize that it wasn't an appropriate place for him. And that's all our kids need, most of our kids. They need direction, support, love. And most of all, they need the freedom to experience and live life. Firsthand, not through mom, not through grandma, not through dad, through their own experience. And in some cases, you can start really, really small. Let them tie their shoes. If they can't tie their shoes, get them Velcro so they can put their shoes on. You know, there's ways to, that's what we did with Brandon. He wanted to tie his shoes so badly. He couldn't tie his shoes till he was 15. So that gives you an indication of how his fine and gross motor skills were delayed and kept him from doing things his own age. But Brandon, when he lived alone, he learned he never went out at 3 o'clock in the morning again. So he did learn. I mean, that's special. It's not like if I would have said to him, don't you ever do that again? I forbid you. I think he'd be out again. And why would I forbid him? You know, our children, even though Brandon had many limitations, he had a right to live his life the way he wanted. And that's something else that I must say. I never expected him to die before me. But I told a therapist that I have no regrets. I have none. At least I don't think I do. I mean, I could probably dig deep if I wanted them, but I really don't. And
I was told that if you have no regrets, that your mourning process will go faster. So not that we're planning for our children to pass away, but just in life in general. This is all we have. This is all we have. And some days, is it tough? Oh my God. You should have met me when I was raising Brandon until 15, Hilly was 15 years old. Woo! I don't think you would have liked me too much. Not at all. My life was horrible. It was a mess. I couldn't figure it out. I cried. Nobody knew. Nobody could really help. It was a disaster. And I felt like I was just in it alone. And now I feel so lucky to be able to come out and to share my story with Brandon. I mean, with Brandon. Oh my God, hey Brandon. I guess I'm sharing it with him too. But to share his story in hopes that maybe you'll pick up one thing. Maybe you won't, but it's the idea that we're all different, even though we're on the same path. Every situation may have similarities, but the way we adapt and react are two of the most important things you'll do on this path. Take note of what happens for you on how you adapt and react. Take note on maybe there are things you are doing that are really good and things that maybe you could do better. I mean, quite honestly, I was always trying to do better because I felt it was my job. It was never the end. It was never like, okay, well, when he turned 40, I could see Brandon was starting to say to me, all right, enough, Mom, you know, and sticking up for himself. I could see at that point, it was a pivotal point in his life that he started to say, I don't want to hear that. I'm like, oh my God, I think I taught him too well. Can you overteach these kids? Maybe you can. That's not true. You can't. You cannot. But when they get to that point and you know that what you put in, because for many years you may see no maturation, none at all. And I'm here to tell you that doesn't mean anything. Keep teaching. Keep being kind. Keep showing them the way. Keep backing up, knowing, let them go, let them grow and go. And find that dance where you know when hands on and hands off. And you know what I mean, but not real hands, but the fact of being with this person or not. Allowing them to grow. It's every parent's dream is to watch our children live the best life possible. That's what everybody wants. I've never been to a conference where I've seen a parent say, I don't want that. So with that in mind, it's great to be able to know that that's what we're here and that's what we're doing, is we're helping a person, and more than helping them, we're saving lives. We are saving lives in this room. And in turn, the biggest kept secret, but I'll tell you, and because I know that you already know, is that why we save their lives, you've got it. They save ours. Brandon saved my life. He made me a better person. And what I want to do, and what I do, what I am doing, is coming out and paying it forward and saying, you know, every one of us who are better people because of our children, we change in a very different dynamic way, where our vibration is lifted. And not only is our vibration lifted, but everyone we touch becomes enlightened in a way they don't know. And we are so lucky because I can only say this now. Trust me, from the day Brandon was born till he was 15, if you said this to me, I wouldn't be a happy camper. So I'm going to tread lightly on this line, is that I am so grateful I learned these lessons from my son. I am so grateful that I stayed the course. And if you really think about it, there's no other combination that would make us stay the course if it wasn't for the love of our children. It's powerful stuff. Numbers are coming in, extraordinary numbers for children with autism. And it's not stopping. And the truth of the matter, as I said before, so many of them, of our children, come in with amazing gifts. They're honest. I love this story. Brandon was working in a retail store. And he was just standing there waiting for a customer to come in, and he saw something on the ground and picked it up, and it was a $100 bill. He took that $100 bill and marched right into his manager's office. He said to his manager, here, I found this. They'll be back for it. Manager said, thank you. I'll take care of it. One of his co-workers said to Brandon, guess what? He just took the $100 and put it in his wallet. Brandon said, I don't care. I did the right thing. I have to tell you the truth, I wouldn't have done it. He was more evolved than I was. Someone stole his phone. He told me they needed it more than I do. Someone stole money from him. He said, I hope they can pay their bills now, Mom. Excuse me? Unbelievable. These are stories that are what these kids offer. It doesn't matter what the special needs are or their limitations. We work with them to help them to become better people, and in turn, they will help us to become better people. And if you see that, numbers just escalate. We are in this together. You matter. You matter. You must remember how much you matter. Every one of you matter. You matter so much, and sometimes we don't hear it. So if you don't hear it enough, please hear my voice. You matter. What you do today matters most. I have a story of Brandon's that I love. Brandon used to have grand mal seizures. He'd be taken to the hospital. He'd walk home afterwards. I used to pick him up, and then I realized the next step was to see if he could make it home. He loved that independence. I called him one morning after a grand mal seizure, and as moms would do, how are you feeling? Why do you ask, Mom? Yesterday you had a grand mal seizure and they took you to the hospital. Mom? It's a new day. It's a new day. Every day is a new day. It's a new day. Please, please remember that. And if you get that special day, which has been taken from me every day, please remember, I don't ask you to be happy, and I don't ask you to change your moods. I just ask you to possibly think for a moment. It's a new day, and I'm living right now at this moment. Not too much in the future. The future will rob you of your courage. I want you to be courageous. I want you to find that inside you, because every one of you have it. Every single one of you. I'm going to be closing in a minute or two, and I would like to let you know that in my next session, in my breakout session, it's all about you. Please come and talk and share important things, or share anything you would like to share, or ask questions of me. I'm an open book, happy to answer any questions you have. And also, I'll be showing an 8-minute video clip that was done for television on Brandon. You'll get to see him and who he was, and a little bit more about the memorial that was held in his honor. I hope and pray today, I just pray that I came and brought you a little bit of hope, just a glimmer. that there is hope out there, and that please always remember, people care. People that you think that would never care, never. And since Brandon passed away, there has been so many healings that have happened in my life. And I know that it's Brandon who's up there helping me through my life now and wanting me to come out and spread his story of hope and what he was able to accomplish. Stay strong, as strong as you can, and know that the new day will come where you can become stronger, but do your best today where you are right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with author and founder of the Autism Independence Project, Amalia Starr. She spoke about her work helping educate parents of children with special needs about the path to independence. This talk was recorded at the BP Energy Center on March 6th as part of the Stone Soup Group's Connecting the Dots Parent Conference 2015. Thanks for tuning in with us today for Addressing Alaskans. I'm your host and producer, Evan Erickson.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Learn more about Addressing Alaskans and listen online at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.